Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming over and speaking with us today.
Thanks, Chuck. It's always good to be here.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues that are going on with the city and at the council meeting this week. This is probably the biggest thing that council approved, and I guess this has been fully approved, 25-cent per hour raises for all city employees. Is that right?
It is, and you know, we were happy to be able to take care of our employees, which is our number one resource we have at the city. And you know, there were some reservations on some of the other folks, the council members, and we talked about that in discussion, and we understand that. It just goes back to where every year we put together a budget committee, and it usually rotates around three city council members, myself, Chrissy Cunningham, who is our city clerk, and then our city attorney, Joyce Stevens. And we always set up and start, it'll actually start next month, and then we try to lay out the budget for the next year. What we've been doing the last couple of years, when it comes time to look at raises, instead of giving a large raise or a larger raise in July, we've been looking and saying, well, let's try to be conservative and let's give a smaller raise in July. And if we have a good audit, and if we are able to get realize more carryover as a result of that audit, then we will look at, you know, giving a midterm, a mid-year raise. And that's what happened. We ended up having a very good audit again. Very pleased to have three straight years of good audits. And this one netted us about another $560,000 to the good out of the audit. So we were able to come back, and one of the council members, Mike Cash, who was on that committee last spring and summer for the budget, brought it up, and the council voted for it, and I think it was 5-1 last night. And I understand, totally understand the dissenting opinion. And Glenn Teager, he made a lot of good points, and those are things we have to watch carefully, and we are watching that very carefully moving forward with some of the challenges that will be coming down with the pension and whatnot. So, but the bottom line is it brings everybody up in the city, which is one of my goals when I first came into office. No one in the city is making less than $10 an hour. When I had came in, administration started almost 4 years ago. We had some folks that were working in jobs or making very difficult, physically demanding jobs, making around $8, $8.25 an hour, sometimes $8.50. And so we wanted to do that. And I'm pleased that we were able to. Moving forward, I don't know what this means for a raise coming up in the 18-19 budget. We don't know because we're looking at all the challenges. But I was pleased to go ahead and get it through at this point.
I was going to ask you about that. What will the raises cost the city?
I don't have that in front of me. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 or so, and I can get that for you. I hate to give you an exact dollar figure without having it in front of me, but and that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, we're not saying that's something that's you know, peanuts or anything, but for us, we think that it was you know, money well spent again to continue to invest in our greatest resource. We have 68 employees, I think, 69 employees with the city, and they all work very hard in their positions. And if we're able to help them out when we're able to, and still being you know, physically responsible, which I think we are, then we have to take advantage of that.
I know that Councilman Glenn Teager was that lone dissenting vote you talked about, and obviously he's concerned about some things we've talked about in the past in regards to some construction projects are ending here in Morehead this year. That mm-hmm. means a decline perhaps in some payroll tax revenue. Then you also talked about what's going to happen with the pensions, the contribution that the city will have to make not only to its employees but also to its hazardous duty employees will cost thousands of dollars, and I guess that's where he's coming from. How would you answer those concerns?
And those are all valid concerns, and that's why, you know, we have it's good to have six council members on there so that you know, you've got a lot of different opinions, and Glenn, who comes from that background, who is the CFO with the Board of Education, and you know, Glenn's you know, he makes really, really good points, and we always listen to him very carefully, and we understand what he's saying. We just felt at this point that we were able to do this, and we don't know whether we can do it going forward.
That's what I was going to say. Can you sustain it going into next fiscal year?
We don't know if you know we'll be able to give raises, and I think that was another thing we looked at this point based on the audit, based on where we were. And some people had said that, you know, looking at this, you can't give raises when you had passed the insurance premium, but that wasn't what that was for. It was a result of the good audit, because in the insurance premium tax situation, where you know it's going to be starting to get that recouped, that'll be coming back probably not till next year. So at this time, we were going on based on the audit.
Now, you also discussed the Kentucky Wired Project, and many people know what that is, but I'll kind of give a brief update. That's the project that's going across the state to make sure that every part of Kentucky has proper access to broadband service, and I know that they want to expand the broadband service and improve it here in the Moorhead area. And this is a project that's been going on for just about a year and a half, maybe.
Actually, it's been going on. It's about 3 years now.
Yeah. So it's been going on for a while. What's the latest?
The latest is they're moving forward. They've talking about the whole project statewide. They're anticipating coming to our area sometime around this time next year, maybe a little sooner. And what that means is coming to our area, that means they're not coming and running broadband to everybody's home. They're bringing what's called the middle mile. And the middle mile is what is set up for the entire Kentucky Wired Project, was to bring broadband to the communities. And now, once it brings it to the community, there's certain institutions that'll get it automatically, certain state institutions that'll get it automatically, schools, those type of things. But then bringing it out to the general public, to the residents, that's the responsibility of the city or county government. So a lot of people are looking at broadband, and that's the way I look at it, and I think several members of our city council look at it. Do you look at broadband as simply an entertainment tool, or do you look at broadband as a utility? And anymore, with all the different things that go online, with people working from home, with attracting tech companies, with attracting just any large company nowadays, you have to have as much capacity for broadband as you do capacity for water or electric or sewer or all the other things that people can consider traditional utilities. And so we're looking at, as a lot of different cities around the country are doing, not just in Kentucky, but do you want to have that municipally owned? And so we've got a committee I put together about a year ago. We've looked at all kinds of different ways that other communities are doing it across the United States and in Kentucky, and we're trying to come down and narrow it down to where we make a proposal or recommendation to council and or fiscal court on what we think we can do. But you know, council would like for us to look at municipally owned, not municipally ran, but municipally owned, and to see if possibly there could be, a way to fund that where it's revenue bonds. I don't anticipate the city, we're not going to be able to come out and pay for it ourselves out of our general fund. We're not going to be able to probably take, a long-term loan out to do that. It's going to have to be something like a revenue bond type situation or a public-private partnership. So we're just trying to narrow all that down. It's a lot of information. We've looked at, all kinds of different aspects, and we're hoping to report back to council sometime in March, maybe April, and to kind of give them options. Here's where we are. This is what it would cost. This is how we do it. And we're actually waiting on another proposal to come in from another company that actually is in another county that does it. And so once we get that, we feel like we can make at least give the council something to look at and choose from. It's very important. I mean, I really believe it's as important as roads. I really do, because for us, for example, we want to hold ourselves out as aerospace, especially with the Space Science Center. We've got Regent, who's here, and they've been very successful. But our state is, $11 billion in aerospace exports. I mean, we're kind of getting known as that. So, we want to be able to attract tech companies. If you don't have enough broadband capacity to do that, then we're going to lose those type of companies. And those are high-paying, large companies, great jobs. But for just about anybody else, they want that broadband capacity too. So,
well, if you don't have it, someone else does, and you might
exactly
lose
right.
out on an opportunity.
It's just like when you go in and for economic development, when you're looking at sites to go and places to go, they have a checklist. Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? That's always on the checklist. And if you don't have that or not going to have it pretty soon, they can move on to another community, and you potentially lose those jobs.
How soon do you think that you can have expanded broadband in place here in the Moorhead area, Rowan County?
There's different ways to look at it as far as going through and bringing it to every resident. If you were to do that, there's different ways to do it. Do that or do it in sections of town or in sections of the county or in sections of the city as a whole. It's hard to say. I would like to say that something like that would probably take a year to 2 years to get it fully out. But we've never done that, and just studying what other communities have done, you know, there's a whole process to go through. And the big thing is we want to make sure when we do it, it's available to everybody at a reasonable cost, and that it's not going to hinder the taxpayers for years to come. Something like a revenue bond, like I talked about, where, you know, the more people sign up, you are able to recoup some of that way, as opposed to us going out and taking a long-term loan out, which would work against our overall bonding capacity, and we don't want to do that. We want to look at other ways, and that's, it's a complicated issue, but I think it's a very important issue to look at.
Another thing that happened here recently, I know that all the players in the TIF district issue, there was an announcement made that I guess a designer has been hired basically to put together a design of what that $20 million TIF district downtown would look like, and that's pretty significant.
It's very significant. It's something that we've been working on this probably almost 3 years, a little over 2 years anyway. And when we did our Vision Moorhead, that was one of the things that was on there, is to develop downtown Moorhead and revitalize it. And one of the ways you can do that is try to incentivize developers to come in. And, you know, we just don't have the capacity to give away, you know, a large tracts of land. The city doesn't own a lot of large tracts of land to give away for development. So you have to be very creative and look at other ways to incentivize developers to come in. And one of the ways, by the help of the state, is through the TIF program. And it's something that has been successful in larger cities. Matter of fact, we're one of the smaller cities to ever try and to do this. But at the same time, we feel like in us doing this, you see a city like Ashland, which is obviously considerably larger than we are, but smaller than other major cities around the state. After we implemented our TIF, then you saw Ashland come right on our heels, and now you're seeing they're doing it directly for the hotel revitalization downtown. For us, it's big because it shows that there's people out there, the Luckett and Farley, 150-year-old company, they see the value. They've done projects all over the world, and they see that there's potential here. So when they're coming in and they're signing a commitment to say, look, we feel like we can bring this development downtown, and we feel like we have the resources, the connections to do this, because the incentive is to get that $20 million threshold as quickly as you can, so that once that happens, not only the local kick in and the share of the incremental taxes, but then you get the state, and that's where the really kicks in. So, you know, they're incentivized to do that. We feel like we should know something within a year on the pre-development plan, and that's what now the clock has been ticking on once we sign that.
So you have a year, I guess, to get this design put together, and at that point you look at the design and what happens after that.
Well, the way it is, our TIF board will be involved in that design, in that pre-development period. You know, we will meet with them regularly, whether it's monthly or more than that, but at least monthly, and they will show, okay, this is what we're looking at, as opposed, for example, a hotel and possibly a parking garage and possibly a restaurant and possibly this. And they will bring these to us, and we can look at them and say, yeah, I think this would work here, or we have the opportunity to agree or disagree with them. And then if they bring us a full-blown plan within a year, and it could be sooner, but they have got up to a year to do that, and we look at it and we think, yeah, that's great, then we move on and go on. If we don't like that plan at the time, or if we feel like, you know, it's not something we want to do, then there's a minimum fee involved maximum fee would be $150,000 we would have to pay if we just totally disagree with them. And then, but we still get all of the work product. We don't think that's going to happen, but it's built in there for kind of a fail-safe. They come in and they bring us this within a year, and then we agree with it. Then within 2 years beyond that, there has to be a hotel beginning to develop under construction, you know, in that phase. So within 3 years, realistically, we could see something like that happening, and it could be sooner.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll pause for just a moment, come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest today. And also discussed at the council meeting was the development of the Perkins property, which, for folks who don't know, that's near the city park where you plan to put a splash park that you'll be working with the county on. So what's the latest there?
We had the city council had talked to and tasked me and our staff at City Hall to come up with some ideas, and we wanted to discuss those and really be able to start that process. And we talked about, you know, the splash pad first, so that's going to be the thing we'll be able to get done first. And timetable, we just don't know yet, but we're hoping to be able to start that very soon. But what the council said, and I really agree with them, and it's what we need to do, is, you know, we need to have a master development plan for that as well, to show people that, you know, this is what we want to do, and this is developing the whole property, not just the splash pad section of the property. But, you know, our goal is to eventually have, you know, besides the splash pad, we like to have a senior center there to be able to use a senior center for, you know, we don't really have a true senior center in town. Be able to have them a place where they can come and have arts, crafts, activities, educational opportunities, but also be able to have them, you know, close to the park where a lot of them use it anyway. And addition to that, we'd like to also have eventually an indoor recreation facility. So there's enough space on there for that. Then by the time you add in parking for all that, you know, you could have up to 100 spaces or so based on the layout that we decide with that piece of property. But the other exciting part is if you go over the bank down into Triplett with some of the things we're working right now with the Corps of Engineers on and some other grants going on with the Division of Water, not grants, excuse me, projects going on with the Division of Water, with some other members of the community, we see a potential maybe to have kayaks down there or a launch or something of that matter. So we want to go ahead and show the community what our goal is long-term, with the splash pad probably being the anchor right now, but we want to go ahead and have that out there to be able to present that to the community, and that's what I'm working on right now. It's what we're going to start today to get that done. So, you know, it'd be great to have something to show people in a month or two, and you know, there's an outside chance we may be able to have the splash pad up towards the end of the summer. We don't know that, but that would be what we're pushing towards.
Well, how important is it to have the Rowan County government involved in this?
I think it's very important. I think it shows, again, the collaboration and cooperation we have with our, you know, all of our local entities. I feel like right now this is one of the strongest relationships we've had with not only Moorhead State University, St. Clair Medical Center, the Rowan County School District, and the county and the city all together. You know, if you look at this, with tourism helping us purchase the property, with the Rowan County Fiscal Court coming in and helping us develop the splash pad, and with some other things we've done recently with Moorhead State and of course, you know, St. Clair's development and working with the school district on all different levels, I think it's a really good time now for people to say, hey, Moorhead, the community, they got it going on. They're working together. When people outside see you all working together to make the community better, they want to be part of that. So I think by Rowan County Fiscal Court helping this, it's got long-term benefits. It's going to have short-term benefits, obviously, once we get that recreational facility up, but it's going to have long-term benefits because it shows a community that is really working together for the betterment of the community, not individual pieces. You know, if the community rises up, everybody was going to rise. Everybody's going to benefit from it. So I just think it's important, and I give the fiscal court a lot of, you know, props for coming out and taking that and being able to say, hey, we want to do this for our community. We talked about this for a long time. It's been talked about for years, working together on a project. So I see not only the short term, but definitely a lot of benefits coming in the future.
Do you think it could lead to the point where then you, at some point, the city and the county get together to build a full-scale recreation park?
that's one of the things that we talked about a couple years ago when we talked about the Sunnybrook project, when it's been on and off, and not going back and revisiting that particular one. But that's something that's been in talks, and with it actually coming to fruition on this, I don't want to say small project, but on this project, that's enough you can build off of this. I believe that, you know, there's folks on there that see the importance of recreation, not only for the wellness and the health of our community, and also to give our kids and our youth somewhere safe to go and have a safe and a good activity. But also, when we want to attract business in here, people want to have a place that, when their employees, what are they going to do when they're off of work? What are their families going to do? What are options there? All that works together, and the county sees that. They see that that importance. So I can see this just being the first step to a lot of more collaborative efforts going down the road.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the project to build the new police fire station.
Yes. We will be making a purchase this week of a piece of property that we'll be securing a piece of property that should be the final piece on securing the large piece of property. This is as close as we've ever been. This is going to give us the best option, according to the current property owner, that we will be able to hopefully have something to announce within the next month or two.
So after you get this piece of property, what happens?
Then we will be able to secure the larger piece of property piece of property needed to put the entire project on, the police and fire. We have to get this piece of property first. It's the key. Once we do that, that enables us then to get the whole larger piece, which is where the building will sit. And it will be it's going to be a great location. And the police and fire officials, the chiefs are very excited about this. As you know, we've worked on it now for 3 years, and actually it's been worked on for many years before that. So, again, I can't tell you exactly, but it's moving forward, and we're very close. I'll put it that way.
We can say, though, that the site is close to downtown.
Yes, the site is close to downtown. It's a very good location for everyone, and it's a very good location for us to be able to serve the community, probably better than it's been before with those two entities.
So you've got to be pleased.
Very pleased. I think, yes, very pleased.
All right, so we've got a couple of minutes left. I know there was some discussion regarding some logging that's going on up in the Knapp Avenue area, where some residents have been unhappy about the fact that, I guess, there might be some noise. There might be, I don't know if there's any dirt on the streets or anything like that. But, it's something that's controversial in some ways with certain people.
It is. I mean, anytime you're going to a residential neighborhood, it's been there a long time, and folks have been landowners there a long time, and they've enjoyed a certain level of peace and quiet and a certain level of non-development. That's why you move places like that, and that's why people stay there, and we understand that. But at the same time, you have a property owner who, if they want to continue to develop their land, and as long as they're doing it legally and doing it and following all the rules, not only with what the city has, but even more importantly, when we're in the middle of the Daniel Boone National Forest, if they're doing what the forestry requires them to do, and the Division of Water, which really has more teeth than, because it's you're a state agency more than the city, and they usually take precedent. So as long as they're doing what they're supposed to be doing legally, our hands are kind of tied there. We do understand when the frustrations come in with the folks that are living around this particular piece of property, but at the same time, we try to reassure them, and I think last night was the meeting was a good opportunity for people to voice their opinion, and we kept reassuring them, and they even told us at the end of the meeting they understand we're doing everything we can do, and all the proper agencies who need to be monitoring this are monitoring it on a regular basis. So in the event that something were to happen to disturb their piece of property, there are several things that can happen, either at the state level, or they could pursue it civilly against the particular neighbor or the particular area involved. So, it's always good to let people come and voice their concerns, and it's always good to have that discussion. And we felt like after we heard the concerns and we had the discussion, I think they understand we're doing everything we can. It may not make them as happy as they'd want to be, but at the same time, they realize that if the person doesn't take care of business in the proper and legal way, there are ramifications. So that's the best we can do at this time under the circumstances, because people need to remember this has came up before in other communities, and you know the state takes precedence. We are in an agricultural state, and that pertains to logging as well. And so, you know, trust me, we work every day. Rodney Fouch, our city planner, we look and we've met with several people and we've done everything we can. We were looking at every avenue to make sure that those people are protected. About the neighbors.
Mayor, thanks as always.
Thank you for having us.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.